Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shamima and Aslam Mayat are deputizing for AB Dowji from Radio Islam until 12 and will then continue on Al Ansar until 12:45. Those who are mighty disappointed can switch off. We will depart a little bit from the big picture format and go also to snapshot local Isleka events.
Assalamu alaikum to the listeners. Aslam, can you update us on the army and hijab?
Yeah, last month on AB's show, I said that the army was being foolish in preventing Major Fatima Isaacs from wearing the hijab. A listener, one of the listeners, Khatija Mal, was surprised that I was overconfident. Khatija, the matter is not over yet, but the SADF has temporarily backed down, and until the matter is finalized, Fatima can now wear her hijab.
Social media showed a young white girl crying.
Shamima, we've got Yashika Padia on the line.
Welcome to Yashika Padia, spokesperson for the Active Citizens Movement.
Yashika, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Okay, Yashika, you know, so much has happened this week. Yesterday, the public protector dramatically found against the president.
Yes.
Can you tell us what Busisizwe Mkabane found and what President Rama's reaction was to those findings?
Yes.
And before you do, you know, I earnestly pray that the National does not follow the precedent of Etekwini and replace Rama with our Deputy President, David Dabeda Mabuza.
Yes, it's a rather interesting week in politics, Aslam. Yesterday, the public protector released a report, and in her report, some of the points that she raised was that President Cyril Ramaphosa received a donation from the Basasa CEO, Gavin Watson, towards his 2017 presidential campaign. And she has stated that this was inconsistent with his position as the deputy president at the time. In her report, she also found that the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, had breached the executive ethics code by failing to disclose his financial interests as a result of the donations received. And furthermore, she stated that President Cyril Ramaphosa misled parliament when answering a question on the matter in November 2019. In response, President Ramaphosa has stated that he respects her work as the Office of the Public Protector. He's also stated that he's determined to fight corruption at all levels and that no person is above the law. He believes that her findings are unfounded as he did not mislead Parliament. And he's also said that the speculation that he may have been involved in money laundering is absurd. So as the Active Citizens Movement at this point, we believe that all are equal above the law and the Constitution must be upheld at all times, and we're watching to see how this unfolds further.
Do you expect the President to challenge the report?
I think he is, and he has. I think late yesterday, we did see, him respond to that report.
Now, the Constitutional Court in the Nkandla case found that the findings are binding until set aside. Now, what happens with Ramaphosa? Because similarly with Praveen, she said, you got to follow it within 30 days and you're bound by my decision.
Yes.
And you can't, because even though Praveen appealed, she said, I'm not interested in the appeal. The Nkandla judgment, Constitutional Court, that it was binding. What happens here, do you think?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I know with regards to the other issue regarding Pravin Gordhan, President Ramaphosa has shown support for Minister Gordhan.
I think what PG did there is he brought two applications, one to set aside the findings, and the other one, interim, that the findings cannot be implemented until the case is heard. So I would imagine that Ramaphosa would try a similar tack, because otherwise EFF and everybody else is going to jump down and say, binding, you got to do it, etc.
Yes, unfortunately, that was a very troublesome incident we witnessed in Parliament last week with the EFF almost physically threatening Minister Gordhan.
Yeah, that's right. Now, tell me the second part of the finding. You said the first part of the finding was that the this was the 500,000 donation that was made into his campaign funds. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in Parliament, he said that he knew about it. He saw it was a payment to his son for work done. There was nothing wrong with it, etc., etc. Subsequently, he reconsidered, and within a day or so, unprompted by anyone, he then came back to the speaker unilaterally himself, came to the speaker and told the speaker, hold on, that money that I was confused, that money was one, there was one was paid to my son. There was another payment that was paid into my campaign, and therefore I'm coming and disclosing that to you. Now, the finding that the public protector said was that he inadvertently misled Parliament. So it wasn't genuinely trying to mislead. She accepts that it was inadvertent. She accepts that he immediately came back and corrected it, but she said that he should have done his homework before misleading Parliament. Sounds a bit harsh. What's your position on that?
Well, I think we, as I said earlier, will obviously, depending what's the outcome of this, that everybody is equal before the law. It's the amount that he has explained and been quite transparent about, I think. I'm quite sure about what her agenda as a public protector is also at present with regard to this matter. But we're interested to see what happened hereafter.
Okay, so I think basically you're saying let the law take its course, everything unfold before you take a decision on or a position on the matter.
Yes.
The second part of it was that she also recommended that Shamila Batohi investigate money laundering on his campaign funds. Now, again, you might tell me, look, you'd like to see how it pans out. But, she always complains that she's got a lack of funds. And that's hampering her work. Yet, I couldn't see her investigating how the ex-president's wife campaign funds were funded, or EFF was funded. She seems to be fixated on Praveen, early retirement packages, which I think
parole
every...
Unit, yes.
Yeah, tens of thousands of teachers and civil servants have taken early retirement packages. There's been rulings on that, withdrawal of charges. Even on the rogue unit, there's been enough Nugent. All people have, various people have made recommendations or comments or findings on them. And she's going in a storm in a teacup when VBS, Estina, all these things, billions, we're hearing billions are being stolen by SOEs and so on. And, inadvertently lying to the public, misleading Parliament seems to be a major issue.
Yes, if you would have observed this week that also on Mandela Day, that civil society organizations got together to address some of these matters in a campaign going forward, Aslam.
Yeah, that's the next thing I'd like you to deal with. There's this march on Sunday in Johannesburg. If you can just tell us about that, please.
Yes, it's actually a rally that is being convened by various civil society organizations. It's being led by the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation and the South African Communist Party, and the NCM, Johannesburg Against Injustice, Amnesty International, and various civil society organizations are part of this rally that is being organized. It is going to be on Sunday at the Johannesburg City Hall at 2 p.m. Okay.
Against democracy.
The campaign is called Hands Off Our Democracy. And I would, if you allow me to highlight some of the issues that this campaign is going to be looking at taking forward. As you would have known, that on Thursday on Mandela Day, there was a press conference where the rally was announced, and the objectives of this campaign was spoken about. And I'll highlight some of the issues that came out of that press conference. So what civil society organizations are saying is that there is a state capture fight back to hamper efforts to clean up our government. And these organizations are calling for more vigilance and energy in the defense of our democracy, and are saying that South Africans should unite in confronting the fight back, in putting an end to state capture networks that operate. We are saying that all who raised their voices before should once again proclaim, hands off our democracy. And we are also urging people to attend the rally in Johannesburg on Sunday. And some of the issues that, the civil society organizations are calling for is that they want to make it clear that we will refuse to allow ministers and public officials, whistleblowers, etc., to be targeted and subdued by political bullies. They are also affirming support for the work of the Commission of Inquiry into allegations of state capture. They are voicing dissatisfaction with compromised individuals holding official positions within government and state institutions. We are calling on the NPA to begin pressing charges against those who are implicated in state capture and corruption. And also from President Ramaphosa, political parties, civil society organizations, and South Africans from all walks of life to defend and rally behind representatives and civil servants who have stood up to corruption and who are tackling state capture. There's also a call on all political parties to restore Parliament to a credible, secure environment to debate critical issues affecting our country. And also they are calling for cross-party unity to have the National Assembly begin the process of reviewing the public protector fitness to hold office based on, as you mentioned earlier, the various court findings on several of her reports. We're calling for transparent and open mechanisms to be in place in appointing public servants within the state and in Chapter 9 institutions. We're demanding transparency around political party funding. We want to also open the debate around electoral reform and to ensure effective mechanisms are in place to protect whistleblowers within the system. Also, another issue that we responded to this week as ACM was a petition to the Speaker of Parliament in response to the incident by the EFF in threatening Minister Praveen Gordhan. The Active Citizens Movement, together with Johannesburg Against Injustice and the Mirabang Justice Network, are leading the petition where we are calling for criminal charges against the offending MPs on that day, We are calling for disciplinary processes for the offending MPs, possibly a suspension of their salary, a suspension of those MPs from Parliament, an unconditional apology to Minister Gordon. This petition is being circulated widely on social media platforms and on the internet, and we are urging all citizens to please sign this petition and support this initiative.
Okay. Thank you, Yashika, from the Active Citizens Movement. We have to be going off for an ad break shortly. But thank you very much, and I understand that EFF says they're going to meet them on the streets on Sunday.
I saw that, but it was in reference to Mr. Gordon appearing in court on Tuesday.
Yes, I see. Okay, thanks for the correction.
Bye.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Shamima, I think we'd better try a little big picture before AB fights with us when he gets back.
More than 1 million ethnic minority Uyghur Muslims are in detention re-education camps in China. Children are separated from parents. The aim is to assimilate by force the Uyghurs with China's majority ethnic Han society.
Yeah, you know, in an unprecedented letter to the United Nations Human Rights Council, the ambassadors of 22 Western countries condemned China. Now, diplomats very rarely send letters to the UN Council to criticize a country. But the move was seen as the only available option to spotlight the issue because of the support China has, being economically strong, politically strong, and militarily strong. The signatories from the Western countries may also have been cautious, fearing an economic backlash from China.
Aslam, I noticed that South Africa, with its proud human rights tradition, was not one of the signatories to the letter against its BRICS partner.
Look, Shamima, you're right. But not to be outdone, 37 ambassadors from non-Western countries signed a counter-letter praising China for getting rid of terrorism by the Uyghurs and for China's exceptional human rights record. Now, these pathetic lackeys included Saudi Arabia, Egypt, UAE, yes, and even Pakistan. So much for the high hopes I had placed on Imran Khan. Now, if you look at South Africa, it has to safeguard its economic interests like the other countries that we mentioned. But at least it kept quiet and abstained, instead of genuflecting like the Muslim poodles, including those like UAE, which are more removed from the Chinese influence.
Trump's USA has increased its sanctions against the generals in Myanmar, but it left Madam Suu Kyi unaffected.
Yeah, I can only pray that the Muslim countries do not now come out in unified support of Myanmar and heap praise on it for its counter-terrorism against the Rohingya. But, you know, I'm afraid you can expect anything from them.
Assam, what happened on this day 40 years ago?
Yep, 40 years ago, on this day, the genius Papua Sugalam Susankar, the most naturally gifted golfer in South Africa has ever produced, won the Dutch Open.
What happened today, 50 years ago?
I don't know why you're testing me with all these questions, but today, 50 years ago, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and first human habitation on the moon, and I believe that U.S. is going to start again with this moonwalking and sending people to the moon.
A Dutch court has found the Dutch peacekeeping force culpable for letting the Bosnians be massacred.
Yeah, that I think that's one that came out on TV today. This Dutch court has ruled that the Dutch peacekeeping force was culpable. I think, look, let me take over from Sharima here, because she's been to Bosnia. She's visited Srebrenica, the massacre site, and I think she'll be too emotional to continue. The United Nations told the Bosnian Muslims to hand in their weapons and come to the safe compound where they would be given UN army protection. When the Bosnians complied, the Serbian army moved in, and the Dutch peacekeeping force said that they would not hand over the unarmed men, women and children to be slaughtered by the Serbs. The Serbs swore, "Struzbob, cross my heart, we will not harm them." So the Dutch army, peacekeeping force, United Nations keeping force fled, leaving the unarmed Bosnians to the mercy of the Serbs, who immediately massacred all the men and boys. Now, having seen a lot in my time, I was not moved to tears or anger by the Serbs, not even by the cowardly Dutch. But, you know, I broke down and cried when I heard this court decision. In the distinguished ruling by this esteemed Dutch Supreme Court, they found the Dutch keepers who... This esteemed Dutch Supreme Court called for penalty and repentance, finding the Dutch peacekeepers who, after de-arming the Bosnians, handed them over to the Serbs like lambs to slaughter. As I say, the Dutch court called for penalty and repentance and found the Dutch peacekeepers guilty and said they were liable for, now listen to this, they were liable for 10%. Yeah. Now is the time for your tears and your utter outrage. Just going back to this, you know, we were discussing with Yashika earlier about corruption and so on. You know, this culture of government officials fighting against each other at taxpayers' expense, distracting their resources from fighting crime, service and service non-delivery, and other real issues, is a virus that the Zuma era has contaminated us with. Unlike under Zuma, when the ANC closed ranks and took collective responsibility and defended each other, leaving the criminals unpunished. Now we have two centers of power, which is why the dirty linen is being exposed. So it's not crime that has increased, only transparency has increased. Now, this sickness of fighting each other at the expense of the public has destroyed every single government institution one by one. And if, as Baba warned him, that his testimony would bring down the ugly edifice and legacy, including the sniveling yes people who stood by letting it happen, then so be it.
Aslam, what is the single marriage bill which Amal is so involved with?
Yeah, look, besides the ordinary Civil Marriage Act, South Africa has an act for customary marriages, they've got an act for same-sex unions. I think all the listeners will know that the act to introduce for Muslim marriages has not succeeded. It's had a long and history of acrimony and is carried on for many, many years, starting with the late Justice Dalla Omar, Minister of Justice. And the Law Commission is now investigating a single marriage statute. Now, Shamima, what does a single marriage statute mean? Does it mean that I, as a Muslim husband, can have only one single wife?
No, Sali. Its aim is to recognize marriages and life partnerships of all religions, faiths, and non-faiths in one statute, instead of having different statutes for each.
Oh, that's a relief for me. Shamima is really pretending like she doesn't know anything, but you know, the Women's Cultural Group, of which she is the chair, appeared in the Constitutional Court in Johannesburg in the famous MPL case. We're waiting for Fawzia Peer. She should be coming on shortly, we hope. She is attending a funeral. One of the comrades has passed away, and she's promised that she might be able to slip away and talk to us, because we wanted to know exactly how she was after her latest mishaps. Let's see if we can, if she does come on. In the meantime, you know, just to while away the time, you know, another thing that was big on social media, Shamima, was this young white girl crying while being forced to give blood, which came on a couple of weeks ago. You know, I was surprised that the interest on sharab, on Muslim, there was such an interest on Muslim chats about sharab. But this video went viral, and in the video in question, it appears that the police are physically restraining the wailing girl so that the blood sample can be taken. Now, being lovely and blonde, obviously my sympathy was with the little girl.
Drunken driving is one of the biggest causes of death on our roads, and not something to be taken lightly.
Yeah, we were supposed to have an expert coming on to give us the law on drunken driving. I'm talking as a professional and not from any personal experience, but under the National Road Traffic Act, it's unlawful to drive whilst having more than the minimum level of alcohol in the blood. The blood sample has to be taken. Okay, we've got Fawzia Peer online, so I think let's go on to her. She's very kindly taken leave to for us, so she might want to get back into the funeral. So,
Assalamu alaikum to Fawzia Peer, the acting mayor of Itikwini Metro. We are fortunate to have her briefly before she rushes off for a meeting. We make dua for your safety.
Fawzia, are you online?
Yes, I am. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. You must excuse me, Madam Peer. On an Islamic channel, we worship only Almighty Allah. So I'm going to dispense with the usually customary appellation that we're supposed to address you with. But Acting Mayor, your many fans are concerned at your recent scare, and we wanted to be comforted and reassured that you were all was well with you, and that the new dawn to claw back corruption was on track. Over to you, Fawzia.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Aslam, my friend, thank you for inviting me. I'm sorry to be late. I was in Pastor Langa's funeral, and suddenly I was told to be there, but I have to go back. But luckily, I finished my presentation, my address to the people out there. Yes, it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. The very fact that one would never think that this is going to happen to them in broad daylight, in front of so many securities, and as well as so many counselors, about 215 counselors were present there. I don't know if you want me to, explain the circumstances or the incident, how it happened, or do you want me to now give you the interlude, finally?
Yeah, well, what's happened is tragic. I think let's move beyond that. Give us the interlude and also give us the way forward, because I think that's what we all... firstly, we want to know that you are well, and secondly, we want to know how things are going forward in the metro. Fulja, I'm not going to ask you if I, as an Indian, can buy a used car from the auction.
Please don't go there.
But, if you can just tell us, tell the listeners what's the way forward that you see. The mayor has now been on a second... they've suspended or left out of it for this is now your second term as acting.
Yeah.
And what do you think is going to happen forward? But generally, what assurances can you give us about the health of the metro and where it's going and how the new dawn is unfolding?
Yeah, let me just take you to the incident. The very fact that I don't want to delve too much on the fact that the mayor has been a monthly suspension, because possibly one is moving towards her trial in August. So I suppose that's what the convenience part of the decision that has taken place. But the incident, yes, of course, it's frightening to most of the councillors. The decisions that they have taken or given to me is that they don't want water bottles anymore in front of the agendas that we normally do get. And mind you, we at the municipality, I called the meeting. We didn't have such an incident previously. So it wasn't properly handled by the relevant authorities. And the bottles went from person to person. And somehow, I don't think we are ever going to get the true reflection of what is in it, because it went to our private, or I would say internal laboratory. When I went out there, the bottles that they gave me did not even have the lipstick there, and smelled all clear. And, the lady out there said to me, she found the water to be smelling so clear, and she didn't expect it to be that way. But what was good is that four of them smelt the paraffin, so that was good evidence to show that I did drink a gulp of paraffin water and rushed to a hospital, and I was given immediate attention and treatment with charcoal. I believe charcoal absorbs any form of poison. And so what we have learned from that experience is the bottle should not have shifted from the place. In the future, one could, non-supporters of whoever did it, food could also be in the same position of poison, or any kind of poison element can go there. So people are a bit afraid. I don't normally eat the food. I buy my own food. But water now, I'm taking huge precautions. I'm carrying my own water. It's not an easy thing to be living that way, to be going to meetings, because you're in and out of meetings. I won't say anything about whether the mayor is going to be put on more absenteeism or whatever. Ace Mahashule, our general secretary of national, is out here. I just saw that on TV. I think the protesters were given the interim interdict. It was pasted on the front door of the municipality, and I see someone has pulled it out. It's no more here. And that clearly stated that they cannot have any more of these protests. But It doesn't clearly state what type of protest. It can come in any other form, you know. So protest can. There are people, if any decision is taken this weekend, a protest will go on. But Aslam, one thing I want to tell you is this. I'm much of a workaholic. I want to shape this municipality in such a way that we really mop the filth out of the place, you know. And I, on Mandela Day, I had a huge prayer in front of the municipality. I had bishops who prayed, pastors that prayed. What evil is there, any evil moving around? You know, that's in my mind. So I want service delivery to be the optimum factor in my life, and I've been doing it for years now. So that's what I'm doing. I had meetings with my deputy city managers, with my city managers. Even though I may be acting, I have been doing this previously. So I said to them, with no uncertain terms, I'm going to be very assertive. And I don't want any nonsense from anyone. I want to say, I'm retracting that word. That they must work. That's all I want. I want work to be done. Our biggest problem in the municipality is a lack of supervision. Supervision is really lacking. You give the job to a contractor, you are failing to go and supervise the job. If that is done, I don't think we are going to have any comeback and backlogs of work that is not being completed in the best possible way. So I have emphasized that monitoring is my number one. When I walk down the streets to see that I want the streets to be clean, this is not on. I have the big problem of the homeless, which is not an overnight thing. I'm not going to be able to remove homeless people because they come from the outlying areas, not only other provinces. They are from our areas like and the township, the rural areas, simply because there's no food. They are hungry. And they get food here from NGOs and NPOs on a regular basis. But there's two things I'm working on. And maybe one day I can have a better discussion with you on what exactly I am doing, which is not seen by public, on the homeless. Everything needs funds here, and the bureaucracy kills you. I can fight with them daily to say, why is that not done and that's not done? On my desk, if you come, it's not a clean desk. It just has. This was given Monday. Next Monday, I want answers. Why not? That's the way my organizational work that goes daily with my staff.
I think, you know, even it wasn't your portfolio, but you've developed the social, the services delivery website, and it's been hugely successful for lights not working, potholes, water.
Yes, for delivery. I call it bread and butter.
Yeah, but it's quite effective, yeah.
Yeah, it's very effective. I have that now. The mayor had the hotline here, and the hotline was not so effective, simply because there are seven of them sitting there, each one doing everything. I called them to a meeting, gave them a proper, a systemic way of doing things. One must handle all water, sanitation, electricity problems. Another, all housing and all stormwater problems and ETA problems, roads and all that. So they are so overjoyed that now they have some particular way of doing it. So if I have to take on, the hotline will be my real baby. I'm going to work on. Okay. And I can tell you the city will work in the best possible way.
We've got to thank you, myself and the listeners, for taking, coming out of the funeral and taking time with us. We're now at the end of our show here with Radio Islam, and we'll now be starting again at about 10 past 12 from Radio Al Ansar. So thank you very much to the listeners, and thank you very much to Fozia Peer and to Yashika Padia, who had come on earlier. And, of course, thank you very much to the technical team.
Thank you so much, Aslam. Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.